morning. Before Yitzchak gave the brachos, he called over Esav and he told him, "V'ato sono chelecho teyocho v'kashtecho v'tei asoda v'ase li matam kashero hafti." Now these psukim are very difficult to understand. Yitzchak was about to die, and he had to decide which of his sons deserved the brachos. For whatever reasons it were, he decided that it should be Esav. But yet, before he's prepared to give the brachos, he calls over Esav and says, not so fast. First, v'aseli matamim. I want you to make a meal for me. I want you to make some meat for me. What's going on? Is that a precondition? Is that what's needed before deciding to give a bracha to you? See who's going to give you the food? And what's more shver, the pasuk continues, not only did he ask for the meal, kasher ahavti. You know my favorite recipe. Make it the way I like it. So again, what's the pshat? Yitzchak Avinu is concerned about how it has to taste good. What's going on over here? And the truth is, the pasuk before is even more shver. Esav, we know, was an ishya. He was a professional hunter. That's what he did for a living. Now Yitzchak Avinu clearly was not. And yet Yitzchak gives Esav very clear, detailed instructions. He starts telling Esav, you know what, I want you to get an animal for me. He starts telling him what tools to use, what to take. Say hasodeh, he tells him where to go. So again, what is the importance? Why is Yitzchak micromanaging Esav, if you will, and getting so involved in how he's going to bring these matanim? So Mefarshim in general struggle with what the pshat. Why did Yitzchak want to give Esav the brachos? And one of the explanations that they give is that Yitzchak understood good and well that Esav was an ish yodei tzayid ish sada. He was under no illusions. He did not think that he was learning in Kailu all day. But nevertheless, what he held was that the Torah is not for Malachi Asharis. Malachim don't need Torah. Malachim don't have kinah. They don't have taiva. They don't have nisyonos. Torah is given to people. And therefore, Davka Esav, who was in Ish Sada, Ish Yedei Tzayid, he was the person who was involved in Shekuah and Olam Hazeh. He is the one that needed the brachos, and he is the one that the Torah should be given to. What Yitzchak was telling Esav was that to be zoicha in the brachos, what he had to do is he had to take the Yedei Tzayid. He has to take his involvement in Gashmias, his involvement in Olam Hazeh, and use it for good. He had to go use it. His Yodei Tzayid, if he's hunting because he's hungry, if he's hunting because he wants to be Gashmias for himself, that's not going to do it. But if he's hunting in order to bring food for his father, if he's being Oisik in Olam Hazeh in order to do mitzvahs, that is what he needed to do to deserve the brachos. And therefore he was telling him, it's not enough just Vasli Matamim. It has to be kasher ahavti. If you're doing it for a mitzvah, it has to be a mahadrim and a mahadrim. You have to do it in the best possible way. And the reason why he gave the detailed instructions, he was telling him each and every action you take, picking up your bow, going to the field, everything has to be l'shem shemayim. It has to be for this tayelus and for this tachlis. We find that Esav would try to fool you. It's like he would ask him, how do I take Meiser from salt and from Tevin? Why is he asking these sort of questions? Again, he was trying to prove to Yitzchak that all of his involvement in Olam Hazeh, even when he's getting salt, which is something which is potter, still he wanted to give Meiser. He wanted to know, how could I take every aspect of Olam Hazeh and use it for Torah, use it for mitzvahs? Now, l'maisa, it's a beautiful pshat, but the halacha is not like Yitzchak Avinu. Yaakov is the one that got the brachos. And over here, Rivka saw that although it's certainly true that Torah is not for Malachi Asharis, it's for people who are involved in Olam Hazeh, and it's for them to take the Olam Hazeh and to bring Kedusha into their everyday activity. But for Timi Matzliach, for that to work, you need an Ishtam Yoshev Eholim. The inspiration, the hadrocha, has to come from Torah. And without that, it's not going to work. And that's why ultimately it was Yaakov that won. It was the one that got the brachos, because Yaakov is the one that had the Torah and had the hadracha in order to be noyik in his gashmius in the appropriate way. Now today we're going to begin Siman Kuf Samach. This is actually the real beginning of Hilchos Ribbis. The Tur starts Hilchos Ribbis by saying, Ribbis, hoyov asan liyada. Ribbis, once we mentioned it, once it came to our hands, name of it bib milsa. We'll say something about it. The Torah sounds like it's just, we bumped into Ribbis, we mentioned it, so we'll say something about it. And the Torah then continues in about 20 simonim of perhaps the hardest halachas in Yerodeah. It's a very interesting introduction. It sounds like the Torah is defending, once we're on the topic, we'll talk about Hilchos Ribbis. So Bach explains that really there's a very basic question. Why in the world is Hilchos Ribbis in Yerodeah? L'chayra, Shemin Chayshem Mishpat. Now, if you think about it, Hilchos Ribbis in the Gemara is in Bava Metziah. The Rambam brings it down Hilchos Ma'avav Loiv in Mishpatim. That's the area that talks about Chayshem Mishpat. So why did the Torah and did the Mechaber write, discuss Hilchos Ribbis in Yerodeah instead of Chayshem Mishpat? In fact, when the Business Halacha Institute, when they first came up with their name, it was called Machon L'Chayshem Mishpat. They had a big problem. We're calling it Machon L'Chayshem Mishpat, but one of the most common issues we deal with is Hilchos Ribbis. So maybe we have to change the name. So the Bach says that this kasha was bothering the Torah, and that's why the Torah explained that really, if you go back, Siman Kuf Nun Ches dealt with if a goy falls in a bar, whether you have a chiyuv to save his life. Once we're talking about the dinim of v'chei, of being mechaye a goy, Siman Kuf Nun Ches dealt with the din of ribbis. Ribbis, we learned by a mummer or by a goy, will not apply because there's no v'chei chicho imach. And once we're on the topic, the Torah decided, let's just go through the entire Hilchos Ribbis. But b'yisoid ha'davar, itaka belongs in Chayshim Mishpat. Now the truth is, this question really is something which we're going to deal with throughout Hilchos Ribbis. But it's something which is very negei l'halach. What is Ribbis? Is it a question of dinei mamonos? Or is it a question of issa v'hetter? Now on one hand, it clearly involves money. The halacha is you're not allowed to charge interest. And if you charge interest by ribbis d'oraisa, you have to pay it back. But when you're paying back that ribbis, is the pshat, it's like you stole money, you're a goslin. A goslin has to give back, he steals, he has to give it back. It's a question, regular question of dinei mamonos. Or perhaps not. Charging interest. I can rent you a car, I can rent you my money. In dinei mamonos, there's nothing wrong. The Torah comes along and says there's an isur of ribbis. Not just one, there are six isurim. So part of the halachas of Hilchos Ribbis, the Torah says if you take it, you have to give it back. But perhaps it's nothing to do with gezel, it's nothing to do with dinei mamonos. Now there's tremendous nafmin al halacha. Many halachos that we're going to deal with are going to be a suffolk. Machlokes. We don't have a clear hachra. What happens when we have a suffolk in Hilchos Ribbis? So if Hilchos Ribbis is a question of dinei mamonos, if you have a machlokes with someone, well, you're chayiv or pater. So what's the halacha? What do you do if there's a suffolk? The rule is, suffolk mamon l'kulo. If you're holding on to the money, until he can prove you owe it, you can keep it. You don't have to worry about any sveikus. You hold on to the money until he proves it, that you're chayiv. If it's a shayla of iser v'heter, ribbis is a shayla of d'oraisa. When they have a suffolk d'oraisa, what's the halacha? Suffolk d'oraisa l'chumra. So very often you have a conflict. So in other words, if you lent borrowed money, and before you pay it back, we have a question, is this ribbis or not? So here, you don't have to pay it back. Because the loiva, the person who borrowed, is the muchzik. He's only on to the money. He can say, I'm moitzi mechadei avarayah. He can also say, this is a suffolk d'oraisa. Suffolk d'oraisa l'chumra. I don't have to pay it. So in that case, they both line up. But what happens if you borrowed money, you already paid it back with this interest, and now we have a shaila in halacha, is this called ribbis or not? So can you force the malva to pay you back or not? So if it's a shaila of dinei mamonos, he should be able to say, the malva can keep the money. till you prove otherwise, he's a mochzik. However, if you deal with it as a shiloh this of a heter, it's a suffik daraisa. Suffik daraisa is l'chumra. He should have to pay it back. Right. Well, no, there's a shayla of Issa Ribbis. If the Malva gives it back, if the Malva returns it, that he's not over in Issa Ribbis. The Issa Ribbis is only if the Malva keeps it. Okay, by Gezel, you always have that. Every time there's a Suffolk Mammon, there's always a Suffolk Gezel. And Athel Pekain, for whatever the reason is, that Achrayim discuss it, when it's Dine Mammon, we ignore the Issa Gezel. We say, Suffolk Darais, we say, Hamoitza Michavel Varaya. So over here, again, we go back to, if it's a Suffolk Issa, L'chayra, he should have to return it. Now this is discussed, the last shach in Hilchos Ribbis, which we have in Yomar HaMakoymos, discusses this question. He brings down from the Maraj Dam, Yardayasim and Samach Beis, that says, Safak Doraisa L'chumra. If you collect Ribbis, even if there's a Safak, if it's Ribbis or not, you have to give it back, Safak Doraisa L'chumra. The Maisa, the Teres Emes, the Shach, the Nesivus, the Taz, and the Urim V'Tumim all argue. And they all say no. The bottom line is, since we're dealing with Mominus, once the Malva gets the money, he has the right to say Kimli, he has the right to say Amoitzi Mechavero Varaya, and even if it's a Suffolk, he does not have to return the money. Now, Afal Pike in the Shach says that if Roiv Paiskim are Machmir, we still cannot force him to return it, because he's a Mochzik. But we tell him, Bezin Shmi Ma'ayim Alav, they should tell him that Roiv Paiskim hold it's also, you should give it back. But, bottom line, end of the day, because he's holding on to the money, he's a mukhzik, we cannot force him to pay. Well, the Shach says that in a case where Reif Paiskim are Machmir, even though Bezdin can't be Kaifa, he says Bezdin warns him that he's not Yotzi Yidei Shemayim unless he returns it. So the Shach is clearly learning that he's taking a chance. Now the Pesach Tshuva brings down from a Bris Avram, and the Krasi says a very very similar concept. He has a little bit of a pshara. He says it depends on the case. If you took the money, and maybe it's mutter and maybe it's aser, there he says the mukhzik will win. You don't have to return it. However, in a case where it's definitely aser, the question is only whether it's ribis doi rice or ribis drabon. There, the Pesach Tshuva paskins and the crazy paskins, there in that case, we can force you to give it back. Because in that case, you clearly shouldn't be holding on to the money. Now, if it's drabon, we can't force you to pay it back. It's not yotze b'dayanu. But over here, where there's safek d'oraisa, there we'll make you return it. But if it might be mutter and it might be aser, there, dinei mamonos and halacha is, you'll be able to keep the money. Now, I mentioned before, the Rashdam argues. Rashdam says it's a suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. And we'll get back to the Rashdam in a few minutes to talk about what the pshat is when Rashdam is. So the mechaber begins. Tzarech lizor beribis. A person has to be very careful with Hilchos Ribbis. The Torah writes that in Hilchos Ribbis specifically, that a person should be should not be quick to be makel. Because once a person finds one kula, you give him a little bit of a heter, people tend to run with it and they end up being nichshal in Isui Ribbis. The Kamaladim Nemruba. There are many Isurim in Hilchos Ribbis. As the Rambam writes, someone who is malva beribis is over six different lavim. And that's a tremendous amount of Isurim. We don't find this in other areas in halacha. Torah says six different times, six separate lavim, not to be malva beribis, and that shows the chaymer hadavar how severe it is, and it's considered in halacha. And if you skip down to Sif Beis, it says kol ha'noisim beribis nechasiv mismaititin. Person who is malva beribis nechasiv mismaititin, he loses his money, he becomes poor. Uki lukafar beitias mitzrayim ve'alkei Yisrael. It's as if he's denying and rejecting Yitzias Mitzrayim and Elokei Yisrael. And it's brought down that a person who's Ma'avah Beribis is Eino Kom B'Tchias HaMesim. He is not Zoycha to Tchias HaMesim. Now besides the fact there are so many Lavim, there are six different Lavim that are mentioned, the Mechaber continues, V'yafilu ha'loiva ha'noisne va'arei va'edem oivrim. Not only did the Torah create six separate lavim on the Isser, the Torah put the Isser on everyone involved in the transaction. The lender is over the Isser Ribbis, but the borrower also. Now this is a very big chiddush. If someone mugs you, so the gazlin, the thief, is over in Isser Gezel. The victim didn't do anything wrong. He's a victim. When it comes to Hilchos Ribbis, even the loiva, even the person who's paying the interest, is also over the Isser. Why? What did he do wrong? If a person wants to pay money, what's called kavod? He can do whatever he wants. So over here, the Torah explains, because the Isser Ribbis is something which people are so nimshach acharav, it's so tempting to the malva, it was a very good field, or at least used to be. So therefore, there's a tremendous taiva nisayin to be malva beribbis. In order to make it harder, the Torah, in order to deter people from doing it, Torah put the Isser on everyone involved in the transaction, and that way, if a borrower can't borrow beribbis, then a malva will not find any victim or anyone who's willing to go along with it and willing to help him be over the Isser. Now, although there are six Yisurim on the malva, the Yisurim are not all the same. Most of the Yisurim apply when a person collects the interest. A person lends the money, he agrees to charge the interest. He's only over the most of the Yisurim you're only over when you actually go ahead and actually physically collect the interest. However, there's one exception, that is the Isser of Lois Hasimen Olav Neshech. Lois Hasimen Olav Neshech, what does Lois Hasimen mean? It means you shouldn't put the interest on him. So the Gemara explains, the moment you borrow money and you agree and you obligate the person to pay the interest, right then and there you're over the Isser, even before you actually went ahead and collected it. Now, Rav Moshe says, it's a very interesting tshuva. Okay. Good question. It's machlokes. We'll get to that in a moment. Rav Moshe has a very interesting tshuva. A person borrowed money beribbis, b'shagig. He didn't realize it was usur. He didn't realize the person was a Jew, but he was stuck, and he knew at the end of the day he's going to have to pay back the interest. He's making payments, and he knew at that last payment he would have to pay the interest. Okay, what's he going to do if he doesn't pay? The person's going to foreclose. He's an oinus. He has no eitz. But he really needed some more money. So he posed the following shaila to Rav Moshe. He said like this, I shouldn't have done it, it was shoygig, it was taka wrong. But now that I borrowed the money, in 3 months from now, I'm going to have to make that last payment. That last payment is going to be an Isser Ribbis. I have a wonderful idea. In 2.5 months, I'm going to go to the person, and I'm going to refinance, and I'm going to borrow more money from him. Now, what that means is, then in my payment in 3 months, now I owe him, until now I owed him $1,000, now I owe him $1,500. Until I pay all the principal, there's no Isser Ribbis. Ribbis is only after I pay the principal, then when I go above that, I'm over the Isser. So if I keep on refinancing, and I keep on owing more and more and more, I'm never going to be over. Now it's true, at the end of the line, eventually, I'm going to have to cut a check, I have to pay it all back. That check will be Ribbis. But in Hilchos Ribbis, is there a difference between, is it paying 10% on your money or paying 20%? This Ribbis has nothing to do with how much you're paying. So once I'm already stuck, once I've already borrowed the money, let me just keep on rolling over, borrow more and more and more. And either way, that last check will be Isser, but it's not more of an Isser if I do that in 10 years than if I do it tomorrow. So Rav Moshe says, you're right in your cheshbon. And he says, I agree with you. As long as you don't pay the principal, since the principal is constantly growing, you won't be over the Isser by each payment until the end. And in the end, it makes no difference how much it is, there's no difference. But he says, every time you agree to pay Ribbis, there's Lois Hasimen. And therefore, each time you roll it over, when you actually borrow more money there's a new tzitza, there's a new deal, there's a new Haskim, there's an Isser of Lois Hasimen right then and there. And therefore, he says, it's not a good Eitza, and you have to deal with it now. You can't go ahead and borrow additional funds from this person. Now, so Rav Moshe says that's automatic. Rav Moshe has a very big chiddush, which will actually come up, and this comes up very often. If a person borrows money and he's making monthly payments, the bank is going to look at the payments, they're going to credit most of it to the interest and some of it to the principal. If Rav Moshe holds, and it's probably a machlokes, but the Gris Moshe holds, in halacha we ignore them. In halacha, You borrow with interest, you don't owe their interest. Everything you pay goes to the principal. So therefore, it's only at the end, when you make a payment, you've paid the whole principal, you pay more, that's when you're over the Esaribis. But your monthly payments, even as far as the bank is concerned, you're paying interest, your Esmeisha holds nothing. And as far as halacha, that's not true. As far as halacha, payments go to the Karen until the Karen is exhausted. Correct, correct. If you borrow from a guy, you make up, this is how you're going to pay it, then certainly it gets... Halacha has no problem with an amortization schedule. It's only because there's an isaribis, and the Gros Moshe holds you don't owe the interest, so even though they call it interest, we'll automatically put it towards the Karen.
But if you actually close that loan down, they're not going to reduce the principal by that amount.
That's true. At the end of the day, your last payment, the Gros Moshe says, you're going to be over the isar. But either way, the person was stuck. There was a lien. And that last payment was going to happen. The point of that tshuva is there's no difference between making that payment in a month from now, will there be $100 of ribbis, or pushing it off by rolling it over, and you'll make the payment in 5 years, there'll be $1,000 of interest. That one payment will be usr, and therefore, there's no. In as far as halach is concerned, there's nothing wrong with rolling it over. It's usr, because each time you borrow, there's a new ktsitsa. Correct. Igros Moshe says, Hey Yois in Halacha, you don't owe the ribbis. Even though you sign a contract, I will pay you 6%. In Halacha, you don't owe that 6%. Now you do not owe it. It is usur for them to collect it. So in Halacha, we will say you only owe the Yisra ribbis once you get above the principal, regardless of what the contract says and regardless of what your bank statement says. And this point we're going to have to get back to. This is going to make... One of the problems that you have with ribbis is what happens when you wake up a few years into the deal, and now they realize it's a problem. This Rav Moshe will be a crucial point in figuring out how to deal with it, and again, we'll get back to it in future shiurim. That's true in theory, but in halacha, once the Torah says you can't charge interest, the way the Igros Moshe learns, you don't owe that money, regardless of what the contract says. Again, others will argue. Since you don't owe that interest, everything you pay, by definition, goes towards the principal. Now, going back, actually, to the point that you brought up, although lois of simon, when you make a simas ribis, the moment you borrow the money, you agree to pay the interest, you're over, is malchikas in the Gemara, and there's no clear hachra, about what case this is talking about. Now, everyone agrees, if a person borrows money in January, he pays back the principal with the interest in February. Everyone agrees the loisa simon yoroiver from the shas halva. But what happens if in between they do tshuva? They realize it was asr, and he never comes to collect the money. Do we say the agreement to pay ribbis, that itself is asr, regardless of what happens in the future? The Isser is done, over, period. Or is it mitlatali? If you do a sima and then you end up paying at the end, then lemafreya, you're over when you borrow the money. But if you do tshuva in between, then perhaps you're not over the Isser. Now this is a machlokes in the Gemara, it's a machlokes in the Achrayim. There is no clear hachra. Most places can do seem to be machmer, but regardless, because it's an Isser d'oraisa, clearly, a person has to be machmer, and you have to assume the sima itself is going to be asr. Then there are a few nafkaminas. First of all, what happens, and very often, a person wants to lend money to a friend, and wants to lend him interest-free. But he knows good and well, if you lend someone interest-free for a month, what's going to happen? Nothing. He's going to take the money, and he'll see it in a couple months, in a couple of years. He has no incentive to pay you back on time. Very often, people will want to write up in the shtar, I'm charging you, it's interest-free for a month, and after that, it's going to accrue at a certain rate. They have no intention of ever collecting that money. But they want to put it there as leverage. If you hold the simas ribis itself as asr, even though it'll never come lide gvia, l'chayr, that should be asr. In that case, we'll get back to it in a moment. But another example is, what about the loivas then? Let's say a person borrows money. The Malva insists on ribbis, so he figures, okay, I'll sign the document, I'll take the money, I'll bring him to Besdin, I'll explain to him it's also he can't collect it. So, Sounds like a nice idea. But the bottom line is, he was over Isser of Loisa Sima. The truth is, Loisa Sima is Pashas on the Malva. But it would be awesome to do it because the Simas Ribbis itself would be awesome. In this case, the Imre Yosher and the Ereshaya add, besides the Isser Ribbis, you have an Isser Geza. Because the Malva only agreed to lend you the money because he thinks he's getting interest. He's not getting interest, it's Osir. But Heyois, he would have never lent you the money had he known that there's an Isser Ribbis and you're not paying him anything. He says it could be your Gazlan on the money. Right, that's Gezel. After the Torah says that there's an Isser of Ribbis, then you become a Gazlan. But to take the money promising interest when you're not going to pay it because you're not allowed to, there he says that's also Gezel. Now, the other case where this comes up, and this is probably the most common case, is that there are a number of credit cards that have these, or had these great balance transfer deals. 6 months, no interest, or different mileage points. Some of these cards are owned by controlled by Jews. And the Shiloh comes up, people would like to use the credit card. They'd like to use it because they either have great points or these great offers. But when you use a credit card, what are you doing? You're borrowing money, and you're agreeing that you're going to pay interest. Now you know you're never going to pay interest. You have money in the bank, and you make sure you pay up your balance in full at the end of the grace period. So it's never going to come to ribbis. But the bottom line is, you're borrowing the money, you're agreeing to pay interest. So l'chayra, if you hold a sima, the asli de gviya is asr, but if it never comes to collection, it's mutter, what's the problem? You're never going to pay a dime of interest. However, according to the Rav Paiskin, and we're chayshish l'halacha, the very fact that you borrowed money and agreed to pay interest, that itself is an isra of loisa simon, and therefore you wouldn't be able to do it. Now the truth is, in this case, it's not so clear. Why? Because what's a normal case of loisa simon? Person borrows money, and they make a deal. Take $1,000, you'll pay me back in a year, you'll pay $1,100. So the moment you take the money, even if you don't end up paying back the ribbis, we're saying you're over loisa simon. A credit card's a little bit different. Because in a credit card, what's happening? You're borrowing the money, and the deal is like this. If you want to pay me back within 30 days, absolutely no interest, no ribbis. If you borrow the money, and then you wait at past the grace period, then I'm going to start paying you interest, charging you interest. Is that called loisa simon? You could argue no. Loisa simon needs, if two people agree, you know what, I'm going to borrow money from you tomorrow, I'm going to pay you interest. Is that loisa simon? L'chayra not. Loisa simon is when I borrow the money and I obligate myself to pay you back with interest. But if over here there's something else missing, borrowing the money, the interest doesn't kick in yet. It's only now if I wait 30 days. So perhaps this is not called ukuliyama. This would not be called a simas ribis.
Doesn't it just go back to the date of the borrowing?
That's true. If you go past the 30 days and it kicks in, you clearly have a problem with ribis. My question is, what happens if you pay before the end of the grace period?
Conditional borrowing.
Exactly. If a person borrows and says, if I will pay you ribbis, I'll deny something else happens, and that thing never happens. You can argue there was never a loisa simon, because the conditions necessary to have the ribbis were never fulfilled. Excuse me? It's you're taking a chance. Obviously, if you think it might happen, you're playing Russian roulette with an issa d'oraisa. But if you know for sure it won't happen, so our shaila is that called loisa simon when the whole simas ribbis, all ribbis is out tonight, and that tonight I know will never be niskai. What? So again, it's not a smart thing to do. My question is, are you over the loisa simon if it's a tonight and the tonight at the end of the day did not happen? Yeah. The suffix would be whether you're allowed to go into it in the first place. But if you hold, you have the money in your pocket, you know you have the right to pay. It's under your control. So as far as the dinei sveikers, since it's in your control and you can make that payment, shouldn't be usher. If you're not sure if you can pay, obviously you can't do that.
So in the case where actually, like, yet for a year, an interest only starts then. It doesn't go retroactively.
Right, so the same thing. You can argue there's no simas ribbis, because for the first year there's no ribbis here. Now the fee is going to be it's probably going to be ribbis. Again, we'll talk about that a different time. Yes, they're charging you for the money. What they call it is not relevant. Now this Shiloh, interestingly enough, there's a Mincha Shlomo that talks about it. He brings up this question about what happens if, you know, in these kind of cases, and he blibes Tzarachiyun. Now interestingly, this is in Chedek Beis. When they reprinted the Mincha Shlomo, this tshuva disappeared. If you have the newer versions of it, you're not going to find this tshuva. I'm not sure why it was censored out. Maybe it was, I don't know the pshat. But again, you are dealing with a Doraisa, and it is hard to be meikel because it's a Doraisa and there's no clear kula. However, there are two cases where I think it's easier to be meikel. The first is, what happens if this credit card company is not completely owned by Jews? It's only a miut Yisrael, but they control. So as we discussed in the past 2 weeks, when you're dealing with a company that is Roiv Akum, many Paiskim are Mekel. Even though, again, it's not a clear heter, and when they control it or when they're involved, you should be Machmer L'Chanchila. But in such a case, where the whole Simas Ribis is a Shiloh when it never gets collected, and on top of that, we have the Svar of a Tanai. So if here already it's easier to be meikel and say that there's no iser of, and in this case you can be samech and roiv akum and you don't have to worry about it. The other case where this is very common is every time people enter into a partnership, there's usually an operating agreement. One of the clauses in the operating agreement typically says that if there's a capital call, they need more money. All the partners have to put in cash. Whoever doesn't put it in, if one of the other partners comes up with the money for him, it's a loan and he has to pay a certain amount of interest. Now, if you think about it, signing that operating agreement, Chor should have the Shiloh. You're signing an agreement to pay interest in the future. And therefore, it should really depend on the Shiloh of Simas Ribis, the Simo Deliasa de Kavir. Even if it never comes out to it, the bottom line is you're signing an agreement to pay Ribis. As far as the Simas Ribis, in this case, the Chayit should be Mutter. And the reason for that is that it's one thing when you're borrowing money from a credit card and you're agreeing you'll pay interest after 30 days. There's a halva, you're borrowing the money. There's a tzitza, you're agreeing to pay interest. It's just al tanai, it only kicks in after 30 days. So there we have our Shiloh. In this case, there's no halva here yet. There's just an agreement, if we need money in the future and you put it in, then we're gonna accrue interest. Because there's no halvoi here yet, here l'chari l'kuliyam, we would not be over Isra l'isusima. Now if there's a capital call and one partner actually puts in the money and wants to charge you interest, that's clearly ribis. And clearly you would need a hetter risk at that point. But if you want to know, are you over from day one when you sign the operating agreement, there, since right now there's no halva, right now there's no capital call, even if there is a capital call, we don't know who's going to lend money to who, we don't know which partners will put in and won't, l'chari, you wouldn't be over at the time you sign the operating agreement. The issue would first arise when there's an actual capital call and there's interest accruing. Now certainly, al tzeitza toiva, in all of these cases, you shouldn't be taking chances. And certainly the right thing to do is to write a heter. It's always a good idea to have a heterisk klali attached to every operating agreement. But if it's not practical, if you want to be d'yeved, l'chor you weren't over because there was no halva yet. It was just an agreement about the future. Now this is all the iser as far as the malva is concerned. The malva has an iser of lois simon. The Mechaber writes, the edim are also over the iser. People, the Edom that sign the shtar, according to some places, even in Edom Baal Peh, the people who watch the transaction, they're also over Yisrael Lois HaSimun. Because through their testimony, they're the ones that are mechazik in you, they're the ones that enable you to collect it, and therefore the Edom themselves are over the Yisrael.
Let's say they never validate.
So again, that is machlokes. Some say it's only by milva b'shtar. It means where they actually sign the document. Signing itself, now there's a shtar shish by rivis. Milva al peh is more questionable. If you don't come, it's hard to say you're over. But there was discussion in that point. Excuse me? L'chayr or not. L'chayr, it's only, on lois simon, it can only be if there's a sim, if there ends up being a simas rivis. And an interesting shayla that came up, someone called a friend of mine who's a Rav, and he said he has a store, and one of the things he does on the side to earn a couple of dollars is he's a notary public. People come in, and he signs off that this document was signed in front of me. He was learning Hilchos Rivas. And he realized that to be an aid, to be a witness on a shtar sheyesh by ribbis, is aser. So what's he supposed to do when people come to him with a document they want him to notarize? L'chayr, if they're Jewish, he has a problem. He's being an aid on a shtar sheyesh by ribbis. So the Tuv Tam V'Das makes this chiluk. He says the iser of eidus is when you're being made on the loan, you're being made on the ribbis. He says, Masha'en Kain, if you have a loan document where the parties sign, the Edim just signed that we're verifying it's his signature. There, the Tuv Tam V'Das has a chiddush. He says that the aid would not be over. It has the aid on the halva, not just testifying on the signature. What? Enable. So that brings us to another question. The notary has no idea what it says in the document. And the truth is that the Rav was makel at the end of the day more because of Hilchos Sekus. He doesn't know if the other party is Jewish. You never know who's the other. And you don't know that there's a shtar sheyesh by ribbis. He was makel with other tzerufim. But for all these questions, for all these scenarios, we really have another related question. Is what about lifnei iver? The Rambam adds that the issur ribbis goes on the malva, the borrower, the lender, the edim, the arev. Zog the Rambam, the sirser, the broker, is not over in Issa Ribbis, but he is over in Issa Lifneiver. If you're negotiating, if you're brokering a loan, and you know the parties are Jewish and they will not write a heteriska, you're dealing with a problem with Lifneiver. Now Lifneiver has different parameters. Lifneiver, many places can hold is only by Trey Avra Denara. Neither is, without your help, the Isser wouldn't happen. The classic case is, there's a Nazir, he's not allowed to drink wine. He's thirsty, he wants a drink. And you're holding a bottle of wine. So halacha is, if he's on one side of the river, and you're on the other side of the river, and he starts asking you to toss the bottle to him. So there, if you don't toss it to him, he's stuck. He has no access to the wine. If you give it to him, that's lifnei iver, it's an issur d'oraisa. However, by chad avra denara, if he's on the same side of the river as you, and the same way you can go pick up the bottle, he can pick up the bottle. He just is lazy, he asks you for help, but he doesn't need you, he can do it without you, then there's no issur lifnei iver d'oraisa. There's a drabbanon we'll get to in a minute, but d'oraisa doesn't apply. Now based on this, if you're a broker, we'll have to see how much you're needed. If the parties need you, if you don't put this deal together, it's not going to happen. Then it's lifnei iver d'oraisa, and if the halva will be beribis, you cannot do it. However, if you refuse to do it, the next person down the block will do it, and he's a goy, he has no problem putting together, not worried about hilchos ribbis. So in such a case, there would not be lifnei iver d'oraisa, and you, as far as lifnei iver is concerned, you would be allowed to broker the deal. The problem is that even though there's no lifnei iver, there's a second iser of miseyeya. Whenever you help someone do an iser, even if they don't need you, according to the Ran, there's an iser midrabanu. And miseyeya, there are many kulas. Again, we don't use these kulas that very quickly, but if it comes up, you'll ask a shayla. But basically, the three main kulas are, there's a dogel mervavo that says miseyeya applies only when the person is a shaygig. He doesn't realize he's doing the iser. If a person is a mummer, he knows it's usur, he doesn't care, there, lifnei iver would apply, but when it's no lifnei iver, because they can do it without you, the Agul Mervava says, no iser lifnei iver. Miseyeya. Other shitas say that by an iser d'rabbanon, there's no iser miseyeya. So miseyeya will only apply if it's going to be ribbis d'oraisa. If it's ribbis d'rabbanon, it could be there'll be no miseyeya. And lastly, there's a meshav dover that when you're getting paid, when you're a broker, as long as your siyua, your involvement, is before the Isser is done. It's not at the moment of the Isser, it's not at the time the actual Isser is being done. Meshav Dover says that's fine. So if you're putting the parties together and then they're going to finish the negotiations on their own, but you've done your work in advance, there, as long as it's only Misayaya, as long as they can do it without you, since you're getting paid and you're not helping at the time the Isser is done, the Meshav Dover says it would be mutter. Now this is all by a broker. A broker that's setting up a deal with ribbis, he has to look at, will it happen without him? The answer is no, then it's certainly awesome. The answer is yes, it could happen without him. Then he has to deal with Misayaya. He has to see whether these other kulas will apply. And again, it's a case-by-case. Shaila, you'll ask him, Moyo Hira, if it comes up. For the aid, an aid, the witness and the document, the arev, the borrower, they are not over lifnei yiver. They are over the Isser Ribbis directly. And therefore, it's irrelevant whether, if they wouldn't be Edim, so someone else would be an aid. Someone else would sign the notary. It's not relevant. Since you're playing a part of this transaction, since you're playing a role, you directly are over the Isser Ribbis Daraisa. Now, the Rambam adds one more case. The Rambam says the borrowers are over, the lenders are over, the witnesses are over, the Arev is over. It's like the Rambam, the Sofer is also over as well. The Sofer is the one that wrote the Shtar. Now today, what do we call a Sofer? We call him a lawyer. That's the lawyer over here is playing the job, playing the role of a Sofer. He's the one that's drafting the documents. So the Rambam baskins, and the Shach also brings it down. He says from the Bahag, he says no one argues. The Rambam holds a lawyer that drafts a document that says Rivis is over in Issa Ribbis Daraisa. Oh, so very good. So what the question is, what does it mean a Sofer? Back then, a Sofer did two things. He was the one that he was the architect, he was the brains behind it, and he also wrote it. What happens if we split these jobs? One person drafts the document on his computer, and someone else prints it out. So I don't know. Could be you can clear. I've heard such svaras that maybe the Issa of Lo Tisim, when you have to actually, you know, create the physical document. You know, the next level is, what happens if a lawyer creates it, but he leaves a few blanks? So there also, maybe, as long as the parties themselves have to put in the dates and the numbers and the amount, maybe until that happens, it's not a shtar. And I've heard such svaras to be made. The problem is that it's very difficult to know. What is the Yisra? Every time a Sefer wrote a shtar, the Sefer wrote a shtar, when he finished writing the shtar, does that paper mean anything? No. Until witnesses sign it, until it's handed over to the Malva, it has absolutely no, it means absolutely nothing. Afal Pikain, drafting that document, where now the parties, when they take it and they hand it over to the Malva, now there's a shtar and this is what you use to collect. That is an Isra Lo Tisima. So if that's the case, it's very hard to know where to draw the line. Maybe as long as you created a usable document that you just have to fill in the name, maybe that's also enough. You know, so Lifnei Iver you always have, but Lifnei Iver lawyers are, you know, with all due respect to the gentleman here, a dime a dozen. You'll find someone else to draft the document. So Lifnei Iver you're not going to have. Misayaya, you'll have to deal with the other cheshbonos. But in a chanami, if you are the only lawyer that can take care of this deal, and if you don't do the document, the deal will fall apart, you're 100%. That's Lifnei Iver.
It seems like it's almost like the lawyer and...
But it's more than misayaya. Misayaya is in Issa Durabonon, and there are different kulas that will apply to many cases. If you're the Sofer, if you're Lois Simon, you have an Issa Daraisa. Now I'll tell you another. Let's say there's a transaction going on, and the parties over there decide that there's a certain kula, they hold it's not Ribbis. The lawyer is a little bit more frum, and he holds it is Ribbis. Is he allowed to be the lawyer on the deal? So if a broker wants to know, am I allowed to broker a deal where they hold its motu, but I hold its aser? So what's the broker's issue? Broker has a question of lifnei iver. Is it lifnei iver if they hold its motu and they have a posik to be samech on? How about that now? They have the right, assuming it's a legitimate kula, they have the right to be mekel. If they want to be mekel, I have no issue lifnei iver setting them up and letting them do the deal. So a broker has no problem. As long as it's their shittas, their legitimate shittas that hold its mutter, a broker can do the deal. A lawyer doesn't have the justification. Because a lawyer, the person who, or the aid, the sofer, the arev, the loiv, the malva, they are called principals. So if they personally wouldn't be samech on this kula, they can't create a shtar that will be samech on the kula, because they are being over the yasaribas. It's not a question of misayaya, it's not a question of helping other people, it's their problem. So as far as what happens, they do only part of the work and they get their secretary. Now, a secretary also has a problem with shlichus. When you are paid shliach, even if they're a goy, it could be that the shlichus via there. These are difficult questions. You'll have to ask a moyer hairoh if it comes up. Certainly the best thing is to do is to have an associate who's a goy deal with the transaction. And if you can avoid it, you certainly shouldn't be involved. If you are, again, you'll have to ask a shaila. It's not clear on halacha. There's very little discussion as to what the gedder of writing the shtar is. One interesting, there are actually two kulos that come that can be very helpful for lawyers. Is the first is the Shitas of Mordechai. The Mordechai paskins that the Isser of a Sofer is only when you roll the interest with the principal. Person borrows $1,000, he's paying back $1,100. So if they write an IOU note for $1,100, they are the Sofer, the Isser. However, if you write a shtar that says, I'm borrowing $1,000, I'm paying 10% interest, there the Mordechai says there's no Isser. Why? Because he says the whole Isser of the Sofer is now you gave the Mav a loaded gun. You gave him the shtar that he's going to use to collect the money. If the shtar says, I'm charging you 10%, no Bezin is going to collect the money. And therefore he says, he's talking about Edim, but the same would apply to a Sofer. There's no Isser as long as the Ribbis is Mefurish B'shtar. Now it's a very nice Shitas HaMordechai, but first of all, other Rishonim argue. And second of all, today, unfortunately, I think the Mordechai would agree that it's awesome. Because back then, even the Rishoyim, even the Malvi Baribis, went to Beis Din. So since this shtar is something that can't be collected in Beis Din, so the Sofer, they didn't do anything, this paper is meaningless, you're not over the Yisr. However, if we live in a time where unfortunately people run to court, and in court, a shtar sheyesh baribis will be very effective, and you are giving him the ability to collect the funds, there, even the Mordechai would agree there would be Aser. The second kula, we're out of time, we'll have to come back for next week for it.